Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, where we're all catching our breath, this is a special edition of Four Center. I'm Ken Napzok.
I am Joseph Scrimshaw.
And on the phone, Jennifer Landa.
Jennifer Landa, hello.
We should all answer the phone anytime by just, no more hello, just saying our own names.
Jennifer Landa. Oh. Well, we are here to, you break down, react, all those buzzwords you want to use. We're here to talk about the final, they let us know, the final Rise of Skywalker trailer that the world is buzzing about. Joseph, Jennifer, and I watched it. Joseph and I watched it together with some food and some football.
I had a glass of whiskey and a Knight of Ren action figure, and it was great.
It was great. Jen, your situation, a little different, a little more lively.
A little more lively. I watched it with my daughters, the baby, my four-year-old, and my husband. And it became very clear that really I am the biggest Star Wars fan of the family.
For now.
Exactly. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I still am going back and taking it frame by frame because there's so much that I missed.
Well, Joseph and I have been doing that too here on my TV and laptops and phones. And I had promised myself I'm not going to go go frame by frame. I'm just going to enjoy the... Oh, I got to stop.
This was a frame-by-frame trailer. It demanded frame-by-framing. Yeah.
So we're going to take a look. Joseph, where are we starting?
Yeah, I want to start with some of the just kind of the big picture stuff, because we only have Jennifer for so long, and kind of talk about some of that big picture stuff, any specific moments that really stood out to Jennifer. And then, Ken, you and I will kind of go through beat by beat all of our insane amount of freezing and framing and whatnot.
A lot of Orbeck talk.
So, Jennifer, I know you got to kind of absorb it in two ways, one with a loud family gathering and then one kind of frame by frame. But what's just your overall emotional reaction as a Star Wars fan? Were you moved? Were you thrilled? Were you worried? What did you feel?
The first time that I watched it, I really missed pretty much all of Palpatine's voiceover. I could not really hear it.
Okay. So
it was mainly just the visuals, and it really, the ones that hit me the hardest were, you know, 3PO and his line, of course, Leia, on the final, that Leia gets the last word. It was just so beautiful and just the perfect way to end the Skywalker saga. So I guess that's what kind of surprised me as I went back and watched it, was how much Palpatine was a huge presence in this trailer, and how much Leia was a big presence in this trailer as well. That was really surprising. And of course, like you said, taking this frame by frame, they really packed it all in. I've seen BB-8 going up into the mix of the battle with the Orbox.
Yeah, rolling with the Orbox. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that was so awesome. Of course, that we got the 15 seconds earlier in the day. Little teaser that they gave us, and seeing the Rebel fleet, I mean, resistance fleet, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
It was good guys. Oh my gosh. That is going to be a fist pumping moment in the theater. It was a fist pumping moment for me at home. So
yeah. For you, was it that there are lots of ships that we can recognize, or was it just like the huge volume of that is a whole fleet? That is the good side coming to save the day with the Falcon in charge. Was it more that, or just the volume of ships?
No, it really was because the Rebels have been the underdogs pretty much, you know, for me, that's what I always gravitated towards being a Rebel, was because it was like they were always kind of down and out. And so seeing this humongous fleet that they all came together to answer Leia's call. Like that was just so, that to me is what Star Wars is about. Coming together as a community to take on the bad guys.
Yeah. And you can nerd out about like where you recognize all the ships from, and I'm sure we will. Yeah. But also, it's like you look at the First Order and the Star Destroyer, and for the most part, your First Order and Empire, it's Star Destroyers. It's all same. And you look at that collection of ships, and that's diversity, right?
That's
lots of different people coming together.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. From all over the galaxy. It's really beautiful, actually.
There's something really beautiful at the moment when they push into the cockpit, and this was the part, you know, like I said, this was released earlier in the day, but they push in the cockpit and just that smile between Chewie and everyone kind of piling into the cockpit, and you know, I'm probably on the cusp of a big military movement, but there was something really warm about that moment.
Absolutely. Now, Jennifer, the very beginning, have you had a chance to truly hear the noises in the very beginning of the trailer?
Wait a minute. Is it what I think it is?
I think it is what you think it is. At least that's what I think.
Yeah.
No.
You know the song of those far off birds in your heart. You know where that song is coming from, right?
Yeah, come on.
All you had to do was just say that, and I literally, like, I got this reaction within my body of just, oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean,
and then that helmet.
That helmet. Yeah, that's an indoor Rebel helmet, man.
Oh my gosh. No, they can't toy with my heart like that. I felt that's the other thing, too. There was quite a few reveals. I mean, my husband was the one that noticed that Rey and Kylo Ren break up the Darth Vader helmet, right?
Yeah,
we're not sure what that is.
It's It's Vader-like. Yeah, that's where I was like, it's nuts to this. We've got a freeze frame because I want to know what that was. And
yeah.
It definitely looks, when the helmet comes flying off, it looks Vader-like. And it makes sense it would be Vader, but not Vader, you know, some kind of.
Yeah, but it
right.
looks, yeah, did they find all of his bits of burned armor and kind of build them up into a statue sort of like his body? And then like, did they build kind of yeah. Lego Vader? Is that what they're?
Yeah, it's Lego. It's training. Kill yeah. a Sith. This is what killing a Sith is.
Right,
like.
But I mean, like this whole I think discussion reaction for us is going to be that back and forth between the minutia versus the feeling, right? Like
yes.
whatever that
right.
is, whatever that is, whether people on Twitter have accurately guessed 1,000 times what that is, it's more for me right now about the feeling.
Yeah,
that symbol.
Right.
Like, are they killing the past? Are they doing it in a good way? Are they taking a step toward the light together? What's going on in that moment? And how does right. it make you feel? You know, yeah. is so important to me.
And are they dating?
Yeah, Reylo lives. I mean, honestly, like, are they? That's the other thing I think of. I'm like, are they going to reveal this stuff in the trailer? No, of course not. Right. So then I really start getting, ooh, what could it possibly mean? Why are they throwing that out there for us to misdirect us? But yeah. I don't know. I got to watch it frame by frame again.
Yeah, yeah. I think a thing that I wanted to ask both you, Jennifer, and you, Ken, is I really felt like this trailer, while it showed us a bunch of different things, a bunch of different locations that we can go, yep, that's there, those characters there, I didn't feel a clear sense of time within the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't
right.
feel like, obviously, that scene is in the second act.
Right.
Obviously, mm-hmm. obviously, if they're going from here, like, a couple things like, yeah, that's Pisana, we've seen that before, so that's a part of that chase. Great.
Right.
Little things like that. But all those different scenes with Rey and Kylo, to me, it's delightfully not immediately obvious.
Yeah.
What their path through the movie together is. That they go here, then they meet the Emperor, then they go here, then they split up, then they come back together.
Yeah.
A lot of times by now, that sort of path through the movie is obvious, and I'm thrilled it's not.
Yeah,
right.
No, absolutely, because it's like, you could probably even right now convince me that lightsaber fight's the first thing that happens between them in the movie.
Yeah,
know?
Or the last, who knows?
Or the last,
yeah.
I don't necessarily know, I don't necessarily think it's the first, but you know, like, this could be how they... they meet in the movie for the first time. Let's have a little lightsaber fight and then go kill the Emperor. I don't know. And obviously the Palpatine dialogue, which Jen, I don't know if you, have you had a chance to 100% grasp what it is?
Yeah, that's why I was like, what does this mean that they're coming together, like as in yin and yang? You know, light meets dark,
right.
or is
yeah.
this coming together as in like they are both on the same side? I don't know. What do you guys think? Well, I'm sure you're gonna discuss that.
We're gonna discuss
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but we want to discuss
for the next like 30 minutes. Yeah.
Oh, at least. We want to discuss when you're here because the way the trailer's cut together, it's there's this nice ambiguity about how much is he talking to Rey and right. Kylo as right. you know avatars of the light and the dark, mm-hmm. and how much is he talking about like literally the rebellion, the resistance, everyone who's ever opposed him,
right?
Because it's cut together with shots of unity, shots of the
resistance,
rebellion coming together, and that idea almost of like, hey, if you even dare to stand up towards the dark, that's you're done already.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I kind of. We know enough now with these modern trailers that, you know, they're going to put some VO over things that aren't necessarily connected. But the point is, Joseph, what we're really here for. Yeah, we're going to break down the little moments. Yeah, is that the Mortis dagger? We don't know. those things kind of don't matter at this point. What matters is what they're telling us with the trailer. And I think it's a little bit of both. Rey and Kylo, you might be teaming up, but also, oh, you're all coming together to fight me.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for this. I'm finally going to win.
Yeah.
There you go.
That was the really big picture that I took away from this whole trailer, is that what's at stake in this trailer is together versus apart.
Yeah.
Because that goes to what each of the main characters are saying of Finn saying like, hey, I feel like it's instinct. It's the force. It's bringing us together. We'll talk about that some more too.
Yeah.
Poe saying like, no, good people will fight if we lead them. Mm-hmm. And then Rey, you know, having this, introducing this darkness of nobody knows who I am.
Nobody knows who
I am. But Kylo says, but I do. So, are they, which side is she going to be on? And then the Emperor coming through, Palpatine coming through and saying, hey, if you come together at all, that's going to be your death. Then we get these reassuring voices of Luke and Leia saying, confront your fear. The Force will be with you always. So it's got this, goes back to really classic stuff, but also has that very specific tension of what is at stake is, can we be unified or will our fear
Tear us apart.
Tear us apart, because they spent the entire second act of this story apart, as they did in Empire. And now the idea that they're coming together, and that's the one thing that we know a bad guy wouldn't want.
Right.
So they're going to try to get in your head, and then it makes some sense. And that's what is emerging to me as one of the early themes here.
Yeah.
We'll break it down on a more individual basis. But yeah, overall, that's when I walk away from this trailer, it is all hands on deck. Orbox, which, you know, Joseph and I could not remember that name for the life of us. And Joseph found it. We're like, oh, that's right. The Jerry Orbach jokes we made at Celebration.
Had to Google Space Horse Star Wars Vanity
right.
Fair.
Right.
Everyone, Jen, is coming together from all parts of the galaxy. And that seems to be the theme for the final stand, at least part of it here in this trailer.
That's what I wanted. I think that's what all of us wanted. Mm-hmm. And I think that there is going to be, oh my gosh, this movie, we're going to have to watch it so many times. They're tying up all the loose ends, but in a way that is, I think, surprising and fresh. I think JJ, I think he had fun with it. Mm-hmm. And he also knew what was at stake, and I'm sure he felt the pressure.
I am describing this, and we try to keep it clean here on Force Center, but bleep me out later, parents. I describe this trailer is wonderfully batshit, meaning it is something I'm like, wow, JJ, and everyone like, what if we had horses on top of Star Destroyers and the Star Destroyers come out of the ice and there's a mecha emperor?
Yeah, that's a mecha Palpatine exactly. Is what I thought the first time I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the possibility of mecha Palpatine more in a bit. But yeah, I feel like it felt like back to the basics in some ways of Star Wars. Like, if Abrams really is asking himself, like, where did this start? Well, it started with this really strong story of light and dark and choosing your destiny.
Yeah.
But then on top of that, again, batshit.
Batshit.
To go big and pulpy and adventure serial. And it says, you know, this trailer really says that. It cuts down to just like Rey's in crisis. Yeah. What is she going to choose? And then in order to tell that story, we need a strange short little alien to plug into C-3PO's head, and we need space horses on Star Destroyers, and we need Palpatine in a mechanized walking chair, maybe. So it's just like it's taking, it feels like it is turning some of the very original Star Wars aesthetics to 11.
Jen, what did you think about that 3PO scene, which I view as kind of right now the heart of the trailer? What did you think?
Well, I'm immediately thinking, oh gosh, I think he's going to die. That was my immediate
thought. Don't you do
thought.
It, 3PO. Don't you do it.
But it really, to me, I mean, we start off the saga with the droids. Well, if you watch The New Hope, obviously, first. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, so there, and the fact that it's, you know, it's Anthony Daniels, one of the last remaining actors from the original trilogy.
Yeah.
It just was really, it was very emotional as a fan who's been a part of this journey since the 1980s.
Yeah.
You know,
How did you go ahead? Sorry.
Oh no, I'm worried he's going to die.
Yeah.
Me too. There's a possibility that I think he might choose a heroic sacrifice. Like, but they also seem surprised. It seems like they didn't realize that whatever they're doing to him, that's going to be it for 3PO.
Yeah.
Right.
Because that's a very comic delivery from Poe there. Like, what you doing, 3PO?
Right.
Speaking of sadness and endings, this tagline that was in the trailer and then Star Wars tweeted it out as well. The saga will end. The story lives forever.
Yeah.
How is that hitting you, Jennifer?
You know, and that's what I kept reminding myself was like, this is the end. This is the end, the final installment. And then, you know, I got to go to the Mandalorian press junket over the weekend. And that's been on my mind so much. And I'm like, no, this is kind of like a new beginning, this new era with Disney Plus and the Obi-Wan Kenobi series and the Mandalorian and who knows, you know, all the other things that they have planned. And so it's the closing of one chapter, but the beginning of a new one. And I think we're going to see a whole new generation of fans that are going to grow up with the Disney Plus series. And so it's exciting and it's also sad because it reminds me how old I am, you know, but and obviously no one is ever really gone. So I'm sure that we'll revisit these characters later on in some form or fashion, but it's going to be hard to say goodbye to our friends.
But we are.
Yeah. Jen, and I must go too.
You must go too. Yeah. We don't want to keep you too long. You got a family to keep in line and watch that trailer again.
That's right. The call ends, but the podcast lives forever.
That's right.
Thanks, Jen. We can't wait to also hear about your Mandalorian press day very soon. A lot of fun there. You look very excited. We're happy to can't wait to hear that there too. So, all right.
Thank you.
We're going to let Jen go and continue the show. See you, Jen. May the force be with you.
Bye, Jen.
Thank you. Bye.
Oh, I did that awkward hang up too soon, and now it looks like I'm the jerk.
You got to do the Minnesota goodbyes, as we call them from Minnesota. Yeah, really wait for all the goodbyes before you leave.
All right, this is a lot to take in. I actually love Jennifer's perspective of you and I, Joseph, took the time out. We cleared our schedules for life, and we ordered some food, and we literally started taking notes. Not everyone's going to get that chance, and it's important for the big themes to emerge first.
Yeah.
Versus, is that the Razor Crest for the Mandalorian? Which, by the way, it looks like there's a ship that looks like it,
Yeah.
But that has nothing to do with anything. It's the themes that have to emerge.
And I think what was really successful about this trailer is, even if you aren't like, I'm going to sit down and do a podcast and talk through what I think the themes are, you watch that and you feel worried for your friends.
Yeah.
Right? If you care about these characters at all, you're worried about whether they can come together.
Yeah.
Or will the big bad emperor, possibly Mecha Palpatine, get them? And what will Rey choose? Like, you don't have to do an essay or a deep dive.
Right.
Especially with the 3PO saying goodbye, you get that bittersweet feeling that Jennifer was talking about of, oh my God, this is it. And rationally, I can guess it's probably going to end well, but
right.
But how? What will they go through?
Not
and what
Game of Thrones?
So. Yeah, it's So there is just this great tension of how will it end?
That's why I go to the 3PO moment. It's really the only dialogue we get other than things we hear via VO. It's the only scene we see that's talking. It's
right in the middle.
Yeah, and it slows everything down. Funny moment. I watched it 3 times. And said to Joseph, Zori Bliss isn't in the trailer. And he said, hey, my friend, she's standing in the corner of that scene. So she's there.
But one of 3PO's dear friends. Staring down.
But all the themes you've talked about already, coming together. And we also see our heroes individually.
Yeah.
And then we see the big shot of the fleet. And we know that some people, they're probably together at that point or get to that point. But the fact that what's riding, and that's why I like when 3PO, it all slows down to say, hey, I'm looking at my friends for the last time, like saying goodbye. Ooh, that's something that Star Wars hasn't really taken the time to deal with because it's always been an ongoing adventure.
Right. And then Chewie roaring, almost in it, like, gotcha.
Yep.
Gotcha. Like, you will be remembered, 3PO.
Yeah. So we're going through some notes. Do we want to just start looking in and doing our thing, Joseph, here?
The one other big picture thing I wanted to talk about is the music.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. This
not as directly using manipulative, not manipulative. I don't mean that. The Force theme has been used very effectively in many trailers to bring you back to Star Wars, right? To bring you back to the nostalgia of it, the heart of it.
Mm-hmm.
And this just was really powerful to me because it felt like it was like straining towards hopeful. Like it wanted to break into
the
triumphant main theme, but it had a lot to go through before it got there.
This is the most, again, could this just be trailer only? Sometimes they do that. Joseph and I just recorded our Star Wars ranked, looked at our favorite trailer moments coming out later in this week. And so we were talking about the music and some solo uses, things that's maybe not in the movie, Rogue One. This one, so I don't know. Because even though Last Jedi one is an actual different track. It's parts of other things.
Yeah.
And I know because I used it for my Schmodown entrance and I had to find the trailer music. It's different.
Okay.
So I don't know, but whatever this was might be one of my favorite pieces of Star Wars music because this is Lord of Rings vibe to me. A final battle, not saying it's literal over a final battle, but what they're painting the picture here. So it isn't calling on the nostalgia, some of the music in the past used very effectively. To me, like you said, it's waiting to bust out into something big and giant and Oliphants marching on Minas Tirith and with these shots I'm seeing, and it's just, it's exploding. It's some of the biggest sounding Star Wars music in a catalog that's nothing but big music.
Yeah, real big. Yes.
I was
tiny
blown away by parts.
Incidental Jawa music is big, right?
Yes. I was really blown away, especially on repeat viewings when you start, when you kind of calm down. Because let's be honest, the first few viewings, you're like,
yeah, what?
Because if you're afflicted like us with Star Wars love. So I really love the music. That's my monologue. That's my TED Talk. I'm out.
Yeah, I loved it too. And, you know, we're recording this pretty quickly. We'd have to dive in more to go like, we recognize this theme from Bob. So we recognize maybe it is pulling from other places. But the overall effect to me, it just really underlined that question of, hey, the big heroes, Luke and Leia, are kind of, they're hugging, they're talking, they're talking to us, they're saying, you can make it through. Ray's not sure. And the music felt like that to me. I'm like, can we make it through?
Yeah.
So great. So great.
Strained.
All right.
Restrained and strained is a really good way to describe it.
All right. So shall we start diving in? We both made lists. I think they yeah, connect. They intertwine.
Made the same. All right. Second one. No, I'm kidding. But not. But really. And I did. Look, I'll be honest with you. Lots changed for me from 2015, 2014 to now, where I am not concerned. Is that the ghost? Maybe. Would I like it to be the ghost? Absolutely. I'm not worried if it is or not.
Yeah. You know, as you said, we just recorded that trailer breakdown and we watched all those trailers. And it was weird to look at some of the Disney era Star Wars movies and see the number of like, oh, that's just an action beat that's cut in. In the way it's cut next to another thing doesn't have any meaning to the story. It's just to give a general feel of the movie or, you know, hey, our characters are in danger, so here's an explosion.
Right.
So there are definitely lots of shots in here that's like, yep, that's really interesting, but it's a part of a battle and we'll see it later.
We'll see it,
yeah.
We'll know in December, and I'm in that frame of mind, but then all of a sudden, about, you know, the second viewing, when you and I have calmed down, and it's like, well, wait, what was that? But what was that?
We did do some good. I thought I saw an N1 Starfighter. It's like, no, that's just an explosion of yellow because another ship's blown up. Okay,
yeah.
Calm down.
And I love the initial because I was like, the trailer ended the first time you and I went, and I'm pacing around my house. My girlfriend's kind of crying, though she won't admit it maybe on radio on podcast. You're taking it in, and I'm like, Chewie running. That was the thing that stood out to me first. Chewie running down a hallway shooting. Of all the things, I was like, Chewie was running and shooting. And that's the pure joy that I hope all of you out there had of just you gravitate these little things. And now we get to dig in.
Yeah. Okay. Let's dig in. We mentioned this a little bit with Jennifer, but just starting off, those sounded like familiar forest moon of Endor noises and a rebel helmet. We've seen Rey in this locale before.
Yep.
Are you feeling like this is Endor, forest moon of Endor, or Endor adjacent?
Yeah, if we're starting to put the predictions up on the board, it's the sound. Like, and I made the joke to you, if you watch Caravan of Courage or Battle of Endor, the TV movies, Endor, the mood of Endor, you know, it's not just a dense forest. There's different areas, you know, it's a planet, if you will. So some of the things we haven't seen before, there's no reason why there isn't super large waterfalls and, you know, chasms and canyons on Endor. So I think on the sounds alone and then the Pathfinder Rebel helmet hitting the ground, I mean, they're telling you right there.
Right.
Chief Nisa and Wicket around the corner.
It's all. I was waiting for an Ewok foot to step into frame. That was my largest verbal noise. Noises. Anyway, you know what I mean. I made some noises. Yeah, it was pretty exciting.
Well, and look, let's start. Right, you were saying it makes sense. Why would Princess Leia, in need of a place to hide, not go to the creatures and specifically the character who changed the course of the rebellion?
Yeah.
By poking her in that side and saying, you know, acky at that, let's fight them. You know,
practical location, but also, you know, maybe something is drawing them there.
Yeah. You're
getting into a, you know, hashtag speculate responsibly there. It's where, you know, this major victory happened. It's where Anakin/Vader's body burned, you know?
Right. And again, and you know, no one please hold us to any predictions here. I really have grown, not tired of them, but it's just like, looking back on Force Awakens and stuff, I'm like, oh yeah, I had it all wrong. And I don't want to get caught up in that, but at the same time, I got like Endor gets me geeked up more than I can imagine.
I mean, this is the whole speculate responsibly thing. Like, we want to have fun, and man, it's amazing fun to think that would be Endor. And then we go to see the movie and it's, you know, Tendor, the It's fifth moon of Endor, and there are no Ewoks there. I'm not going to...
It's teak. It's just
throw
teak.
My drink down and leave the theater. Yeah. And, you know, it's...
And you're right. I'm gonna stop right now apologizing for having fun looking at these frames. All yeah. right. I'm clear. Thank you.
Let's speculate responsibly and funly.
Yeah.
That's a word. All right. What do you have next on your list?
Well, I go right to Finn. This VO comes. There's some theories out there that Finn is force sensitive or picking up on the force. And, you know, here's the thing. It's an instinct. It sounds like it's cut off from maybe something else. A feeling the force brought us together. Now, do I think that alone makes me convinced beyond a shadow of doubt that he's force sensitive or has learned the ways of the force? No. He's aware of it.
Yeah.
General Jan Dodonna says, may the force be with you. And I don't think he was force sensitive. But it's really interesting the way it was presented.
The fact that it starts that way, it's an instinct of feeling the force brought us together. I'm really interested in that. Finn, Poe, and Rey each get their own line. Mm. Palpatine gets an important line. Luke gets an important line.
Right.
But it starts with our three central characters and lets us know where they are.
Yeah.
And the fact that Finn is saying brought us together.
Yeah.
Finn used to just be like, hey, I want to run. Oh, hey, Matt Ray, I want to run with you. Wait, no, I believe in this fight. I'm all in. So for him to be the motivational speaker, one of the motivational speakers to be like, no, let's stay together. The Force thing's really, that's so juicy to me because I would be delighted if Abrams himself pulled a 4-year con.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, hey, on all the promotional material, here's Finn with a lightsaber.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Finn's not the Force-sensitive one. It's Rey. And then come back around to, he is some level of Force-sensitive, would be really interesting, particularly if they kind of handle it with, I think, what can sometimes be confusion about, like, hey, there are a lot of people who are Force-sensitive on some level.
Yeah.
And then our main characters, our Skywalkers, you know, are the ones who are like, our Yodas, our Obi-Wan Kenobis are the ones who are like, I'm extra powerful.
There was the stuff going around, and I think on the main show we recorded earlier in the day, which will be released after that, so it seems like a weird out-of-order thing, but I'm making reference to something you all haven't heard yet. But I was talking about our pal Hello Greedo did the thing on the midichlorians, and he was digging up some old stuff in interviews with Lucas, and there was something that George, and I can't remember, I wish I remember exactly, but he basically... this is a long time ago, says the Force, you know, it's kind of like yoga. If you want to study it and get good at it, it's there for you. The Jedi are the only ones that took the time to take yoga classes. And that's an old school thing. And then over the time, and I think Legends and everything kind of came into, and I'm not wagging fingers, but that video game thing you heard about, we're talking about the Freddie Prinze Jr. video of what's your Force level? And even the midichlorians come in and kind of give a number to some things. I like that if there's a possibility that we're going back to the beginning, where George is like, yeah, no, the Force is there for anyone. Jedi put on the robes and decide to take the classes. Maybe Finn's like, I'm gonna take a yoga class on the weekend.
Yeah. I mean, I love those ideas. I love those ideas of accessibility. I think I myself get a little like, you have to be born with some level to start lifting rocks with your mind, right?
Right.
So I'm a little bit more like, in terms of like actually getting to kind of level of powers we've seen.
Right.
That like, oh, well, you're born with it and it's a responsibility and you do with it what you do or you don't. But what I do like from the whole yoga class idea is the Force is an organic truth in this galaxy. It's what holds the galaxy together. It binds us and penetrates us. And I like that there's people in canon like Lyra Erso in the books who are just like Force aware of just like, I can feel when something's kind of off. I felt it when the Jedi were gone. I could never do what they do, no matter how many yoga classes I take.
Yeah.
So it'd be really interesting to me if Finn was either like that, or like, I can feel it. It's an instinct of feeling.
Yeah.
Like he's saying, or if he's just somebody who's just like, hey, I listened. Yeah. I believe this is such a better philosophy than the sort of rigid, mechanical, hateful world I was raised in. And instead it's a, hey, we're all connected. Mm-hmm. This planet, this Orbach, this space horse I'm riding, BB-8 is sentient. He's a part of it. We're all part of it. Mm. I believe in it. Yeah. And I want to be a part of it on any level.
He
could be full Jedi. He could be like, I sense a minor disturbance in the Force. Yeah. To just like, I believe in the Force and it's cool.
Yep.
any of those, I'm happy with.
It does. It all works on some level, depending. If it happens, or it just could be a line. Again, we're making jokes, but about our predictions. But yeah, it could be that. But I think it sets the tone for what might be coming.
Yeah,
with the thing. And then he's talking about the Force brought us together. We keep seeing togetherness coming together is all over this trailer.
The Force brought us together, but does Rey want to stay there? What I have next is the Resistance meeting shot.
Yeah, we got Rey leaps around. Maybe she's in the Death Star, does a little jump cut, blah, blah, blah. That's cool. But yes, I really love this because we get Lando, Mon Cala, and Joseph Yu discovered a secret creature.
I need to get home and zoom in big screen. There seems to be a Muppet.
There's some
a big blue furry oval is walking up. I'm just so delighted to see a weirdo.
As if Sweetums dyed his hair blue and grabbed a blaster.
Yeah, we got a Mon Calamari. We got Lando. We got a Poe in that shot. I'm sure we haven't super spent a bunch of time on that. I just saw that blue furry thing, and I was very happy.
And he's stomping towards the meeting. I love it.
But though. Right, it's like it's so many of these shots of the Resistance.
Yeah.
Have that feeling of like, wow, there is a lot of them. They've really pulled together.
Mm-hmm.
And that this shot gave me that great feeling as well.
Well, last we leave them, they're desperate. They're down to a small amount. And Leia's friends maybe have turned their back on her. And that's why I love Poe's line that kind of floats around over this. We do see a shot of Rose, Dominic Moynihan's character, and Billy Lord's character, Lieutenant Connix, is kind of in this sequence. But this thing with Poe saying, good people will fight if we lead them.
It starts with, we're not alone.
We're not alone. Oh, good. That fell off my notes.
We're not alone.
Hey, it's like togetherness is a theme in this thing.
Yes, alone versus together. We're not alone. Good people will fight if we lead them, right? So he's learned his lessons from The Last Jedi, right?
Yeah.
And he knows the importance of leadership.
Absolutely. And this idea that, it's not that, again, we'll find out some details. It's not that people didn't show up. We've already seen in the comics some of the people that didn't show up for some reasons. And, well, Leia, we don't get our ass kicked. Look what happened to Ozzy and Prime. So I love that people wanted to show up. They just wanted, they needed the light. They needed the person.
Well, yeah.
They needed the group.
I love that. I'm like, it's exactly what Leia is saying in Last Jedi is like the spark has gone out.
Yeah.
But when Luke shows up and gives the galaxy hope again by his sacrifice, then you get Lando and a big blue Muppet ready to fight.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, it's almost as if Luke's sacrifice, which becomes a tale to be told all around the galaxy, proves to be some sort of inspiration for help to arrive.
Yes. Yeah. But it is. Yeah. And so far, the storytelling that we have in between these two movies, that the Resistance is going around, the meager members getting resources, but also preaching, right? That, hey, we can do this. Right now, we're just a spark, but together we can be a fire. And Poe saying, hey, I will lead you.
Yeah.
I think I got some better instincts now about when to do the crazy thing, when to play it safe, when to live to fight another day, and when to go in charging and screaming, and when to blow things up. I got this.
I got it.
Follow me.
I got it. I actually love the sequence. That meeting and the fact that Lando's there, I just brings me a lot of joy.
Oh yeah, it's just great. Great Lando shots.
Yeah.
One thing that didn't occur to me, I didn't see Leia in that shot.
I did not either. No, I didn't, and I got
And I
think we see Leia on Tendor,
yeah. And I think that's...
And that's it.
Yeah.
For a little bit, yeah.
For a little bit.
If at all, yeah.
If at all, yep. All right. What do you have next on your list, Ken?
So I go to, from this point, and I can't remember again. This isn't necessarily frame by frame breakdown.
No. We're
beat by beat is fair. It goes into this Rey stuff. What I think is if 3PO is kind of the heart of the trailer, this is the most compelling, intriguing part of the trailer, which is people keep telling me they know me. No one does. She's waiting for Kylo. What we have seen from the promotional shots and clips on the Death Star remains, and Kylo shows up in an excellent shot.
Yes. Wet. Pouty Vogue Kylo with a cool lightsaber flip.
It's great.
It's a cool lightsaber flip, right?
And he says, but I do.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do.
People keep telling me they know me. Yeah. No one does, but I do.
And whoa. I think, again, most compelling, and I don't know about you, Joseph, but I immediately go to the stuff we've been talking about for weeks now with Chris Terrio, saying, hey, Last Jedi really just did an amazing job at this complicated relationship between these two and this connection between them two.
And this is the thing that excites me. Like, obviously, in the trailer, it's just showing us that this is at stake.
Yeah.
You know, like, when she says she's alone, does that mean she's rejecting her resistance friends and she's being drawn to Kylo? And that's a clear-cut stake. But, like, in The Last Jedi, you know, he says, you know, you're nothing, but not to me, right?
Right.
One can read that as a certain level of manipulation, of like, I am trying to make you feel bad about who you are and how you have no place in this story, but I will give you one.
Yeah.
So take my hand.
Right.
I'm so interested. Is this honesty? Mm-hmm. Is this the point where Rey has gotten to, like, feeling, I've been given this burden of having this power and I'm supposed to live up to all these people?
Yeah.
And Kylo going, that's how I felt since the day I was born.
Right.
So I know how you feel. Is it an honest meeting point of like, God, it's terrible to have the burden of all this power and all these expectations and all these legends to live up to?
Chosen ones in a way. Not saying the chosen ones. But yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. We both carry this burden. We wear this cloak of power, so to speak. Because I love, because we leave them last. We see her closing the door. It looks pretty final. But we already have seen some content. Star Wars was the Star Wars comic, the Allegiance comic, and some other things. Rey seems frustrated.
Yeah.
Rey is still learning, maybe feels she has a lot to learn and doesn't anyone helping her, all these kind of things. We don't have 100% clear picture, but we're getting little sprinkles.
Yeah, in the Spark of Resistance novel, we spend a short, middle reader's novel, we spend a decent amount of time in her head, and she's trying to figure everything out. You know, she's trying to do what's right. She doesn't like the First Order, knows how cruel Kylo can be.
Yeah.
But is like, can't calm down and really, she feels the Force, but can't calm down and really get it to answer.
What I love is she is not going, great, I got the training, I got the lightsaber, I'll rebuild it, no worries, no problems. I'm ready to take this on because I am the Last Jedi, you know, the new now Last Jedi. It all makes sense to me. So let's just say she leaves Last Jedi with the movie, and that's part of the story, thinking that, right? Okay, I've got everything I need. Leia's said it's good. Luke's there with me in spirit. I am a Jedi. I'm going on my way to, I've got the books. And how a year later, she's like, no one understands me. No one understands what I'm going through. I've got this power. I'm training my ass off, but it's something. I'm not connecting to the Force the way I think, because that's what's going on in the comics a little bit. And again, here comes Kylo. She's like, I've shut that guy out, and now he's back going, yeah, once again, I'm the only one that gets you.
Yeah.
I'm not, and it's not even just strictly Reylo stuff or anything like that, jokes aside. It is now I'm just like, this is a different kind of hero in the final act.
Yeah. Yeah. And to me, like, I think Abrams and Terrio are going to do a good job of just really accessing the, you know, ongoing themes of Star Wars. And it's such an interesting story to go, hey, as Yoda told us back in Empire Strikes Back, the dark side accessing anger is quicker and easier. So, but what she's being told, you know, by Luke, probably by Leia, is, hey, the best way to tap into the light side is to just breathe, relax, calm, be centered. Also, there's just a few of your friends alive. You're constantly at war. Everyone wants to kill you, and we're always desperate. But be super calm and relaxed, and don't give in to your anger. Like, that's fascinating to me of like, what would any of us do with that huge amount of responsibility and power and burden and know that we have to take this really high road that is the story of what it is to be a Jedi?
Yeah. It's just interesting. It's just, I'm just, I don't have all the right answers yet. And this is 10 seconds of a clip and I'm just like, I love this setup. Does she feel, is there now like, well, we have to, I don't want him. I don't like him, but I got to team up.
Yeah.
And what is that? You know, is that the wrong together?
Yeah.
We're talking about together, but if she feels she's alone, so she goes teams up with this guy when her friends are like, no, we meant us. Us, go with us. And there's some kind of tension there. Again, not saying that there's going to be her against Poe and the company. I don't know. There's just a lot of emotional possibilities.
Yeah, absolutely. And it tracks well with everything we know about her so far.
Right.
What do you got next?
What I got next is a good amount of stuff. Should we take a break and come back and start really diving into the Emperor?
Yes.
Let's do that here
on a
Force Center special edition of the Rise of Skywalker trailer.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And we're back here on Force Center. Thanks for sticking around for this big breakdown of the Rise of Skywalker final trailer. We were talking about some of the big themes, the possibilities, and, you know, I love when Joseph and I were talking and our minds start going down somewhere else. It's not necessarily the right direction, at least for me. It's just like, oh, the possibilities.
The possibilities.
Emotional stakes.
Yeah, it's so fun. You know, I just delight in the moments that we're in right now.
Yeah.
And I saw this, as we were paused, I saw this Twitter exchange. So John Kasdan, you know, co-screenwriter of Solo, has a funny joke. He says, I will be reenacting this moment in the shower momentarily with a picture of Kylo coming out of that crash of water with the lightsaber mid-flip. He gets a response from the actual Star Wars Twitter account, says, you have the ruins of the Death Star in your shower? So we're living in a time where the social media manager of Star Wars Twitter has confirmed that those are the Death Star ruins while discussing just kind of a fun shower joke. and then the next tweet is somebody saying Death Star 2.
Of course. Of course. That's a good joke. That is a 2019 exchange.
That's
right
a 2000. Yeah.
We're mining it. A good joke. We're mining it for facts, and someone's got to correct it.
It is just a thrilling time when everybody wants to discuss and joke and everything.
We were talking about last with Rey and Kylo and the ruins of the second DS1 Death Star, orbital battle station, whatever you want to call it. Then we go to, we got some juicy stuff coming up here with the Emperor. But first, Joseph, this is why I don't like to get into the freeze frame game, but we still have to. You and I don't know for sure what we're looking at. Ice planet, comet, ice island on a lake?
Yeah.
We don't quite know.
Sithburg?
Sithburg it is. Sithburg, dead ahead.
Yeah, but I think it's partially like we've been told that there's some sort of snow planet, Kijimi. I don't know how to say it yet. I might never know how to say it.
Right.
But it seemed like in that Vanity Fair article that is where Zori Bliss is hanging out in the Thieves' Quarter, we're told. Maybe.
Right.
Maybe. So, but when I first thought it's, yeah. But then it's like, oh no, it's fighters are coming towards it. It's this weird kind of, and it's cut with all of the empire or emperor and empire imagery, right?
Yeah.
So it is one of those things like, oh yeah, that could be totally unrelated and it just fits visually. Or it could be like, ooh, yes, this is involved in the evil.
Because I find myself getting caught up. It's like, okay, the top doesn't necessarily match with the bottom, but it could be the weird reflection. Then the TIE fighters look like they're flying above and below. Let's move on.
Right.
Let's move on.
Right, because when we see the movie, we'll just know.
We'll know.
Yeah.
This is where the Emperor stuff starts coming in with the VO.
So beautiful, so beautiful. Yeah. Do you want to talk about the VO or some of the imagery first?
The imagery first, and then we'll go to the VO.
So we get the Star Destroyer bursting out of the ice, right?
I didn't have that note right there.
I was going to say, that's huge.
That's pretty big.
Huge if true. Star Destroyer bursting out of ice. Did it look to you like a classic Star Destroyer?
I think in a lot of things we've seen, not a lot of First Order Star Destroyers. I know they're there. Sorry, I gulped my water too much.
Understandable. Let Ken hack a little bit.
I'm choking on the aspirations of my predictions here. Again, when I'm talking about wonderfully batshit, I'm like, what am I looking at?
Right.
What am I? A Star Destroyer is coming out of the ice like it's some side of kind of Fast and Furious movie?
Yeah.
Wow.
It gives you that feeling that, because the Emperor dialogue we'll get to, but he's talking about waiting. And you get this, like, did he take half the fleet that we've never heard about in any other canon and just sort of freeze them for later? It's like, and you get the sense that in this Star Wars movie that maybe that's possible. Because it's getting to those feelings of like, those original trailers of, aliens from a million worlds. Of like, anything can happen. Because it's a big, bold, weird space fantasy. So maybe it is a Sith ice planet and he froze a fleet of Star Destroyers and they're bursting through.
It's like, congratulations, you just got invited into the Sith Trooper team.
Yeah.
Great. What do I get to do? You're going to be frozen for 30 years. Just stand by for more.
Yeah, and I mean, that's really, because they've been called First Order Sith Trooper, First Order Sith Jet Trooper.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
But it's a great shot.
Yeah. And then we get the Ancient Throne, right?
Speaking of Game of Thrones, yes.
Yeah.
And then Phil Shostak tweets out.
Yep. That it is the exact match pretty much for old Ralph McQuarrie design of Emperor's possible throne room from 81.
Yeah.
So, we've had so many great things in this Disney era of Star Wars that's looking back to McQuarrie and including Vader's castle. On Mustafar, having some design similarities for sketches from back in the day, and the idea of it from Empire Strikes Back, But this, this is one of those great things of like, hey, Star Destroyer coming on ice. We can guess, we can pontificate, but that just looked like that's where an ancient Sith would sit, that's just what it looks like. That's just what it makes you feel, right?
Yeah, you don't need to know anything other than, bad guy sits there.
Yeah.
It's ancient, Dragonstone for Star Wars.
Yeah, ancient evil has returned and needs to rest. Sits there.
Not ghost sit, Sith sit.
Sith sit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any other of that kind of imagery that you wanted to touch base on before we get into?
By this time, the VO starts, and I love it.
Yeah.
It's great to hear McDiarmid.
Long have I waited, and now coming together is your undoing.
Boom. And then we're seeing that resistance fleet. We're seeing all that stuff. Again, I don't think that is literal, but because remember the Force Awakens trailer when Han's talking about the dark side and the light, and we're like, well, he says dark side over Finn. He says Jedi over Finn. Don't worry about that, but it is the theme of, I think he's most likely talking to Rey and Kylo.
It seems like it, right?
Makes most sense, but just the fact that then you're coming together. Boom. resistance fleet.
Yeah.
Ah, I love that.
Right. So it's the, even if he is, even if this is actually a direct line from the movie, which it might not be, and he's saying it directly to Rey and Kylo, it still has that power of talking about the overall
right.
theme of the movie and the overall challenge for the heroes. But digging into it is just first digging into long have I waited.
Yeah.
Right. That gets really gets to the sense of I have been imprisoned and I'm being released, or I have waited for the right moment, or I needed the right circumstances. I needed Rey and Kylo to be together, you know? Maybe it is these coming together of these two powerful chosen one-like figures.
I think we'll get those the answers, obviously, but I'm really intrigued by this idea of if the Force had to be, you know, woken up in episode 7, is he just sitting there waiting for it to come back because he can't come back? He can't do what he wants to do, whatever plan he has, or whatever, if he's a spirit trying to fight back like Voldemort, you know, Voldemort coming back. Yeah. I said his name 2 times, we're dead. And if he takes on another form or anything, these crazy theories or things people want to see. I'm intrigued by the idea of if he's like, yeah, I had to wait because the Force kind of was like, cool, we're out, we're good, we're balanced, see ya.
Right.
And I'm like, over here in the ether going, what do I do? I'm haunting this Death Star.
Yeah. I mean,
I want to get out of here.
It just goes to, we've talked about it. The Force ghosts are, the light side is selfless and feels everything is connected. They become a part of the larger Force, but they are everything and they are one. Mm-hmm. That's not the way the Sith works. Sith is tight and obsessive and mind. So it makes sense that it would just, his evil soul that won't die would just shrivel up and be locked and waiting for an opportunity.
Stuck, stagnant, like dreaming.
However, if it's ends up being sci-fi, it's like I waited for somebody to, you know, flip the clone button. Or if it is much more like, hey, yeah, you need to take the Mortis dagger and stab this obelisk on the, you know, whether it's sci-fi, whether it's culty, I just love the feeling of just like real evil.
Yeah.
You push it back, you defeat it, it stays away for a while, and it rises again. Long have I waited.
Yeah. There's no clear-cut victory in the long term. Sometimes.
Yeah.
We can hope for it. Yeah, I love that, and that's when it goes on the shots. Ghost, it could be another ship.
Yeah,
but I'm happy to see something. I'm happy to get my little Hera, Jason Syndulla.
Hera, Jason Syndulla, another VCX 100.
Yeah, is one that entirely different?
Lando seemed like he liked those ships.
Yeah,
yeah. I wanted to ask you one other question about Palpatine. I mean, I know you'll never believe I want to talk about Palpatine.
No. Sorry, I was just thinking about Lando and that ship, because, what Solo Han puts up.
Han claims he has a VCX 100,
maybe,
right?
Maybe he got him one as a gift at one point.
And Lando's like, ooh. Yeah. If Palpatine is saying, and now you're coming together, is your undoing directed towards the idea of Rey and Kylo, what does that mean to you? Why do you think he would want them to fail by coming together?
I'm wondering, could it be as simple as you two have decided to team up to defeat me, but you what you really need is not each other. One of you needs me. Is it just a simple kind of Sith standby? What form he is, all the kind of things might come into play. We'll talk about the Mecha Palpatine idea we've been talking about. That's where I go initially.
Yeah.
Right or wrong, that's where I go.
If they're both like in a place of anger and darkness and basically fighting over his accidental tomb on the wreckage, I almost like just the idea of that. I've been waiting for something, for powerful anger to unlock me of just like, and there's something, you know, this is not this is exactly what's going to happen prediction, but I just kind of like that conceptual idea of like, hey, look, you released your anger, Rey, and it released this, you know, spirit, this, ultimate evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, you're coming together as your undoing. So mean. So Palpatine.
Yeah, because, again, on the surface, it's just like him taunting, like, oh, you guys think you're doing good? Again, if they even teamed up. If he could be talking to Babu freaking 3PO for all we know. I don't know. But, like.
Right. yeah. And I think, I guess,
is that your theory now? It's Babu Frick.
It's Babu Frick. Yeah, he's turning on the Palpatine chip in 3PO's head. No, I think we've been overlooking one of the most obvious things.
Oh yeah.
Palpatine likes to play on attachments. So yeah. If it is that Rey and Ben are coming together and caring and worried about one another from Palpatine's perspective, that makes them vulnerable, right?
Yes.
They have something to lose. Yeah.
That's why, yeah, it's just, is it an old school Palpatine taunt?
Yeah.
Your faith in your friends is yours, you know? Yes. Like,
yeah.
Oh, cool. You decided to come here together?
Yeah.
You guys ain't nothing together.
Yeah.
You trust him? You trust him, Rey?
You're weaker together than you would be alone. Yeah. Ah, okay, great. Now, let's talk about Jason Syndulla. The other major part. Clear. Clearly. We zoomed in on the window of that ship.
Yes.
We saw Jason Syndulla.
Yes.
We did not.
We did not. And I wouldn't expect it.
Yeah.
But, you know, who knows?
Well,
we always say on Force Center, and I've said other places, J.J. Abrams and Chris Terrio aren't studying Rebels. They're not watching War of the Worlds. Maybe they're watching War of Worlds, but World Between Worlds. I know I've had a couple people already tweet me the Mortis dagger, which is Rey is holding a weird dagger. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. But Story Group watches that stuff. People do. Hey, J.J., can we put some ships in your shot? Yeah, cool. Here's this one.
Yeah, that to me just does not seem that outlandish where J.J. Abrams and Chris Terrio writes, hey, a bunch of people from the past all in the present come together for the big final stand. And Story Group's like, cool. Yeah. The fans would love it if this ship was in front.
Yeah.
And maybe we do cut to, you know, Hera. Maybe we do cut to Jason Syndulla. Maybe we, just like in Rogue One, it zips by.
Yeah.
And we then find out from the Story Group or in a visual dictionary, yep, yeah, that's Jason Syndulla's ship. He's a DJ.
He's there.
That's what he, not the character DJ.
Yeah. It's Ahsoka and Ezra are in there. Zev's there.
Dasha Rendar's in there.
They're all there in that
Everybody.
Ship. It's a party.
The whole gang is back together. Lobot's in there. It's Lobot. Lobot's flying
it's
that.
It's Lobot.
All right. Yeah. We got some other big things before we get too loopy, right?
Yeah, explosions. Oh, we've been broadcasting a long time today. Explosions. We got a watercraft. This looks like they got... I love the idea that... well, that's the dinner I had. if they got to get to the Death Star ruins, it's like Indiana Jones, like, cool, penitent man shall pass, take this weird little rickety boat, get there through the back door. Like, I like that.
Yeah, line. Yeah. Oh, that weird little ship that looks,
yeah,
it's got a similar, it's not, I know it's not a ski speeder, but it has a little bit of a similar design to that kind of rickety feeling to it. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't see a lot of watercraft in Star Wars, so I kind of like
that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. So then moving along, we get to my next thing is the big 3PO Babu Frick scene.
Yeah, that's so just scrolled over my notes and went, oh, we're going to be here all night. yeah, that's, again, we talked a lot about it, but I just, I'm already a fan of Babu Frick and I don't even know why. He's just cute and I like his mustache.
Just cute and weird. And to me, I love Babu Frick because he is a symbol of growth and change in Star Wars. I was talking about this a little while ago, how when the prequels came out, some people just didn't like aliens that weren't human shaped because now George Lucas could do things that weren't people in rubber masks.
Right.
And I really, really like that. Yeah, he looks like a little prequel alien.
He does.
And he's really does. Yeah, but he's just part of the palette of Star Wars
or
now.
Or like for the first Men in Black. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I like that scene. We talk a lot about it. Zori Bliss is there. We can confirm. There's already rumors of prequel robots and droids in the background.
Yeah, somebody sent me a picture. It looks blurry, but looks like it. Looks like there might be a battle droid in the background. Looks blurry.
Convincing, yeah.
Yeah, but man, that would be great if it's a droid shop. Mm. That is also significantly, I think, our first shot of R2, right?
Yes, in this episode 9, yeah.
Yeah, we had the Vanity Fair photo, but there's no confirmation that that's an image from the actual movie. It's just
3PO says his line, take one last look, sir, at my friends, and we got R2 chirping at his side.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
How do we feel? Here's my speculation. We've already seen 3PO with the red eyes. I think it's some sort of, in order to access X, we need program that runs Y, and they don't understand that 3PO's like, okay, I'll do it. Yeah. But that will wipe me out.
Yeah.
And I won't be me anymore.
Yeah, I'm gone.
How would you feel if something like that was the case, where it is like the character you kind of last expect to make the bold sacrifice play is 3PO?
I actually really like that, almost to the point where I don't want to lock myself into it.
Yeah.
But the idea of this, you and I have talked about it, you've been really vocal about it. You know, 3PO gets crapped on a lot by our heroes, the ones we look up to. They're calling him bad names and
shutting him down.
Gets his memory wiped, probably with good reason. But if this is his end, if this is to be our end, then let's make it, an amazing end. This is the end. I'd be happy with that.
3PO's noble end.
And I'd be
Chewie's bowcaster.
And I'd be really sad.
Yeah.
I'd be really sad. He's already got me choked up, but yeah, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. It's a really interesting, it would be an interesting way to feel like there's stakes. That old question, the reason one of the reasons Harrison Ford wanted to die.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, what are they paying for this victory?
Yeah.
What are they, losing? What is the cost of this victory? And yeah, it would be horribly sad if 3PO changes. But that's more in the theme of Star Wars of like change is inevitable than he blew up and nobody can put him back together again.
Yeah.
That's just brutal and sad, right?
Yeah.
But hey, he's got red eyes and a different attitude now. Change.
We'll see, but I like it. Chewie's there too.
And that Chewie roars if he's saying goodbye.
Yeah.
Mm. So what you got next?
We got Luke's VO, kind of the highlight next. Confronting fear is the destiny of the Jedi. Confronting fear. And I think that could be an internal and an external comment there.
Yeah. Confronting fear is the destiny of a Jedi.
Mm-hmm. We get
which wasn't the, but
Jedi. Yeah, yeah. And then it comes back to say your destiny. We got a couple more shots we might talk about. We got the chase sequence we've seen a lot of. We've got that another shot of Lando and Chewie and the Falcon, which doesn't look like it might be at the final battle, or maybe it is in the other shots. Misleading. The Y-Wing. Yes, a lot of people tweeted me out of the Y-Wing. It looks cool. A little updated version. We got some good dogfighting. But that's when Luke comes back in and says, your destiny.
Yeah. And man, I think that was one of the most moving parts of the trailer for me.
Yeah.
Because it is so dialed into the themes of Star Wars, the Skywalker saga so far. And Terry Owen Abrams have talked a lot about in all these interviews. If we're digging into what this is really about. And obviously it's there in the original trilogy, but it is so drilled down on in the prequel trilogy. Like, to me, the word fear and the clear idea, clearly spoken in the trailer for The Phantom Menace, that fear is where this all begins. Fear is the problem. Fear is where everything comes from. And so, of course, to be your best self, every Jedi has to conquer fear. Yeah. And you have to do it all the time.
Yeah.
You don't just pass the trial and that's it. And that just seems like from if this is something that Luke is actually saying or just a general gist.
Yeah.
It makes sense if he's like, well, I had to do that again recently.
Yeah.
Confront my fear and find a way.
Right.
But saying like it's the destiny of a Jedi, but specifically your destiny. We get the great, is he talking to Rey? Is he talking to Kylo? It feels more like Rey since Rey has kind of taken the mantle of The Last Jedi.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is the going to the teaser trailer to the 1,000 generations living you.
Yeah. It
could very well be the same speech. I kind of hope not. I want to give, but I'm not worried about that right now. I Joseph, we've heard a lot about this connecting to the previous 8 going all the way back. And I love that you just brought up the Phantom Menace trailer. Is Yoda saying the famous fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate leads to suffering.
Yeah.
It's connected right there.
Yeah.
That's the point. Go back to the beginning. That's the downfall of Anakin was his fear, and his connections and his the fear to lose connections and possession of people. That's breathtaking in a simple way to me.
Yeah.
That from 1 to 9, as JJ says, and we talk about it on the main show this week, you watch these months, years later, we want this to have some kind of cohesive storytelling to it, all 9 of these saga films. That starts with stuff right there.
Yeah, and this whole trailer being a question of ultimately Rey, which we'll talk about in that final shot, of really saying, like, you have to face what we've all faced. Anakin failed it.
Yeah.
You know, I almost failed it.
Almost, yeah.
You brought me back from failing it again.
Yeah.
And the galaxy is hanging on you passing this Jedi, this timeless Jedi trial, this timeless human trial of, yeah. you know, and, of and confronting. Not even defeating, just confronting. Confronting. Right?
I'm mesmerized by what her specific fears might be now and what Rey's fears have been the whole time. We know tied into the family identity, wanting to leave Jakku, but really she doesn't. She's afraid to leave Jakku and get left behind. And what's her fear now? We know the frustrations and maybe not feeling like she doesn't belong or she isn't, train's not complete, frustrated. She doesn't have fears. She doesn't have the control of the Force. So I'm cause your destiny, like assuming it's Rey.
Yeah. Is it that she, now that she's found friends, she's found family, she's found identity, she is, as Star Wars has taught us, afraid to lose them?
Yeah.
Is it as simple as Finn and Poe are like, we're all in this together, and she is backing away in fear, saying, you don't know me, no, you don't know me.
Yeah.
Because if I back away first, then I'm safe, you know?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And then how do you show that in a batshit space adventure?
It all comes down to these big but small themes.
Yeah. And then we're getting on to one of your favorite shots, right?
I don't know why. I guess it's my love of the Lord of the Rings movies, my love of Game of Thrones, my love of medieval history, of just, you know, knights on horseback. I don't know why. I love the Fathiers. I love the idea of a horse-like creature in Star Wars. That wasn't, you know, well, banthas are elephant-like creatures in Star Wars, clearly. These Orboks, the Jerry Orboks, this shot of Jaina, Finn, BB-8, and others.
Yeah.
High atop horseback, space horses, we'll say, Orboks, on a Star Destroyer.
Yeah.
Charging into battle. Get out of here.
Yeah, right?
This is the Star Wars I didn't know I wanted.
And yet, I'm going to make the argument, it is the Star Wars that you have seen before, and you're seeing it again for the first time.
I love that.
So you know what's so cool about it is everything you're listing, all of these loves, they're older. They're fantasy. They're based in medieval. They're metal and beasts of burden. They're much more organic.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this to me really it evokes the Ewoks taking down the Empire.
Yes.
Right? Because it's these organic creatures riding other organic creatures on top of this huge mechanical beast, right? Yeah.
And with
a bow and arrow. And it is. It's just getting the organic versus the rigid and technical. And it's that sort of thematic thing. But it's also like, hey, I like knights on horses and I like spaceships. Both at the same time? Damn.
Wow, this is the crossover I've always wanted.
And then that BB-8 is rolling fast enough to keep up with a space
horse. Love that. It's so similar to Ghost in the Long Night-ish episode of Game of Thrones. Oh, BB-8, please come back.
Powerful, powerful shot. I love it. So here we're starting to get into some of the interesting Rey and Kylo stuff, right?
Is that what we got? We got the throne room. Clearly a shot. Kylo, if you look closely, because we all have, he's saying something. There's some dialogue going on there that we're not privy to yet.
Yeah. Okay. So we saw what appears to be some sort of weird ancient throne. This is the throne room from the Death Star 2, right?
Yeah.
So we've gone back and forth for years on the sequel trilogy of what is too much nostalgia, what is too much revisiting. How did you feel to see that throne room?
I got to say, absolutely loved it. I am fully embracing a return to the second Death Star. There's never been a doubt in my mind that I don't want to see it once we saw that first shot.
Yeah.
Once I learned on the second viewing of the teaser trailer, it wasn't a mountain, which if you remember Chicago, I thought, there's a mountain. That's the second Death Star. Oh, yeah, it's a Death Star. It just works for me on a level I can't fully explain yet. Yeah. And I think, again, going to the Force Awakens art of book, and I just reread that. I went through every page and read everything again on a Friday night, because that's what I do. And the Rey diving on the Death Star, the Falcon underwater going to the Death Star, whether any of that stuff emerges, I don't know in this. But I'm just all kind of cool in a weird, nerdy kid in 83 way.
Yeah.
The Death Star exploded, but the pieces are there. The Emperor's spirit might be there. All right, let's go to it.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I think it's thrilling from that perspective, from just like there's no reason not to revisit this. Right. And then for me, there is, it's the thrust of the sequel trilogy. Yeah. Rey grew up literally in the garbage of war.
Yeah.
Kylo grew up overshadowed by, the heroes of this war. And this whole thing has been about escaping, our new heroes escaping the shadow of the past. Him. So the fact that they really do have to descend into the literal wreckage of the past, where this absolute force of evil resided and was defeated, and be at that nexus point of evil and light
again.
That's just so powerful. And then just seeing them spending quality time together. What are they talking about? What are they doing? So exciting.
But Grandpa fought here.
Yeah.
My uncle killed him.
Oh, so good. I noted that shot of Finn running down the Death Star wreckage.
He's on the wreckage yelling for Rey.
It looks like he's yelling Rey.
Yeah.
Which makes me feel like Rey and Kylo are fighting.
Yeah.
And Rey goes with Kylo.
Oh, yeah. I like that idea.
Because Finn is running and yelling Rey. And just, maybe it might not be that, but just with all these themes of, hey, Rey, we've got this. We're the resistance. Yeah. What? Oh, you're feeling some doubts? Where are you going?
Hey, that's Kylo.
Yeah. Text me at least.
I like putting, context clues sometimes can rub us the wrong way. For some reason, I like that Rey isn't alone on that, part of the wreckage. Finn's there, other people are there. Again, ties up with the other shots of them all staring at the wreckage on that boat thing going to the wreckage.
Right.
And this idea we've talked about before, whether or not it's true or not, of just the two sides racing to get to the same place.
Yeah.
And maybe he arrives as Kylo arrives.
Yeah. At that time. And then do you have anything before
we go back to some shots about the Star Wars and the B-Wing, but also the one that you and I just were confused is, we know what it might be, and Janet was talking about it up top, but the Rey and Kylo killing what I'm calling video game Vader.
Right.
In a very Imperial-themed but all stark white laboratory type of atmosphere.
Yeah, very Star Wars old meets new, right? Because it does. It has the classic Death Star window type design.
Yeah.
But stark white.
Yeah.
And it looks like, some sort of ancient corroded figure, which would be enticing if we just saw that for a second. But the fact that they are unified in both, whatever that is.
Kill it. She's got the dagger.
Unleash it. Yeah, and the dagger in her hand.
And it could be a cloning facility, just it looks so stark white and clean. Could be.
Yeah. The dagger really excites me.
Okay. I'm going to listen to you why. I'm going to listen to why it excites you.
It's so culty. It's so that side of adventure serial pulps genre stuff of this could be me speculating irresponsibly and really thinking of the way I would like Palpatine to come back has from the beginning been weird Sith ceremonies, secret acolytes buried in the First Order, haunting, but that a dagger just in the language of genre, it's a ceremonial thing. It's H.P. Lovecraft. It's a kind of genre that Star Wars that fits in the Star Wars oeuvre, but it hasn't been really explored a lot on the big screen. That specific kind of you drive the dagger into the obelisk and the evil, the unspeakable ancient evil emerges.
Yeah. It's, Clone Wars. I mean, again, I know. There's more to daggers out there, but I'm thinking more like Mother Talzin, that kind of stuff. Which, by the way, wouldn't Lena Headey be a great Mother Talzin? Anyways, side note.
That stuff is in Clone Wars.
I'm with you on that.
You know, when Palpatine is doing the weird kind of over a boiling pot ceremony to reach Yoda on Moriban. He does it again in The World Between Worlds. So it's in Star Wars.
It's in Star Wars.
It hasn't been on the big screen in a big way.
Just sometimes hard to make that leap, but I think I'm there for that.
Yeah.
I'm there for that more than it's a dagger from an episode we saw. Like, it could very well be that.
Yeah.
But that it has some other kind of meaning, some kind of Temple of Doom.
Yes, yes.
All right, so from there we go to this big thing we've been teasing all night. There's an icy surface that Ray's standing on. The music's swelling. Things are not looking good. And we get a clear side shot of what we would think is Palpatine if he decides to keep the robes he likes to wear so much.
It's his go-to look.
And we're pretty sure. We watched it enough. We even brought in Grace for a second opinion. Hell, we showed my chihuahuas the video. We think that's a device that this person, probably Palpatine, is strapped to that's walking towards Rey.
Yes.
Joseph, thus, is this Mecha Palpatine?
That is why the words Mecha Palpatine flew out of my mind the second that we saw that shot. Mecha Palpatine. We just say that a little facetiously.
Yeah.
But Palpatine's laugh is there. There's so much noise going on. You can go like, oh yeah, why am I assuming that's Palpatine? Well, he's laughing. So, and that's definitely a hood, and it definitely that over the shoulder of possible Mecha Palpatine. Rey looks terrified, right? In the angle of that.
Oh yeah, she's walking back. It ain't looking good.
Yeah, the angle of that shot is Doom is looking down upon you. Mm-hmm. You know.
Oh, definitely.
So I wonder how much we are going to get, you know, Palpatine needing to come back to his physical strength. And this is like some sort of like, we're joking about the Mecha Palpatine thing, but it's not that far away necessarily from like the kinds of devices we've seen him use or project to project his image. Like you go back to Phantom Menace and there's that little holo projector that walks along the hall.
Right, right.
You know, if it is like his body is still like broken and withered and he's strapped into a menacing little throne and it can skitter forward. I'm all down with that. I'm down with skittering mecha thrones.
Skittering mecha Palpatine. Yeah, the Sentinel droids are another version that is, his recordings were placed into.
We talked about floating things.
An Alphabet Squadron, how they're just, they're real creepy horror-like droids there. So, yeah, not uncharted territory with Palpatine. It's definitely one of those execution things. I'll see how it plays out.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm seeing right now, so I'm not going to rush to any kind of judgment. And I'm not sounding like dour on it. I'm actually kind of excited to see how they pull it off.
I mean, I think the thing is like, I trust that it will be creepy. I don't think it'll be like, and now my Sith extender claw, you know, the
big available for purchase at Target's tomorrow.
Right. And I want that action figure if it is true. Yeah. I mean, it looks like possibly some device because.
Yeah. And there's already speculation on, you know, who might be playing that Palpatine and all those kind of things. And that's all cool. It's all neat. I think it misses the point of what this whole trailer saying, but what this is saying too. It's not who, but the how and the why of Palpatine stomping after Rey.
Yeah. I mean, that is the great thing to just look back on and we can discuss every other thing, but like that's Palpatine staring down Rey.
Yeah.
And that's just fun and cool, I think.
Mecha Palpatine. Maybe it's time for Mecha Luke to return to fight Mecha Palpatine. I think it's a really big moment because of what you just said. Rey, our hero, introduced in 2015, is staring down some version of the Emperor.
Yeah.
Of Palpatine. That's something I would not have thought I would be seeing and wanting to see back in 2015.
Yeah.
I think that's a testament to this what they're doing here with this story.
Yeah, yeah. And I continue to be interested in exactly how we're gonna get the return of Palpatine, but as long as it has that menacing evil and also just, you know, to remind us, he's always been a little over the top, right?
Yeah.
He's always been a little bit not campy isn't quite the right word, but like to hear Ian McDiarmid say it, Marquand and Lucas were sort of like, hey, what do you want to do? And he's like, how about this? They're like, cool. Like he decided to go for evil wizard.
It's one of our favorite quotes, not just us, but Star Wars fans, because it is so over the top, but power, unlimited power. Why would you? That guy would want to be a mecha.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the better to chew the scenery from my strange walking throne that holds my frail body as my spirit returns.
Yeah. And it could be something entirely different. This is the fun of the speculation. But my favorite part of the evening was Joseph and I rewinding on our VHS tape over and over. going, did that move? Was that the camera or him? Was it, honey, get in here. Was that the camera?
Is that a Mecha Palpatine? Do you think, Grace, do you think that's a Mecha Palpatine?
We will see in December, but wow, what a tantalizing shot.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we are around the corner of the bend here on the final moments.
Yeah.
Final moving moments of this trailer.
So we go pretty much right towards the Luke voiceover, right?
It really does, yeah. It goes to Luke saying the Force will be with you. Leia saying always, and this just gorgeous shot of Rey with a blade on one side.
That, the glowing blue hero's blade.
And it is, if you study, I'm not saying this isn't like a trailer frame by frame, but if you just study Star Wars and you break it down to these scenes and you really dig in, you can really watch these actors play the moments. And here's Rey playing, Daisy Ridley playing fear, fear, apprehension, fear, smile. I love this final shot.
Yeah.
She just has a little twinge of confidence and comfort and a smile because the voiceover is saying, the Force will be with you always.
Yeah.
I love that ending.
The fact that it's divided between Luke and Leia, coming out on Carrie Fisher's birthday, extra resonant. Leia and Rey have spent more time together by this movie. And I think when I first saw the trailer, I was affected, but then we'd had some good questions, some speculation about like J.J. Abrams is going to be a show-stopping showman, right? And and we got the pop on the first teaser of, ooh, Palpatine, the laugh. Then we got Dark Rey. Mm. So I think a part of me was conditioned for, what's the big pop?
Yeah.
And once I had a chance to digest it, I really love that it wasn't the big pop. It was back to, hey, the good guys are trying to win. Rey is the newest new hope. She is the last Jedi right now. Can she confront her fear? Can she listen to those voices? Can she listen to our heroes and believe that they're right and believe that she can do it? And you're right. She's that look on her face with just the glowing blue blade, the symbol of hope of the Skywalkers, the hero's blade. And that look goes from fear and doubt to something else.
Yeah.
Is it confidence? Is it hope? Is it, I don't believe, but I have to do this? It's delightfully wrought and ambiguous.
It is so weird that I'm going to be making this connection. I admit that right now. One of my favorite movies, one of my favorite books, one of my favorite movies is about a boy, Hugh Grant, Nicholas Holt, his first movie, 12. And the movie ends with Nicholas Holt breaking the fourth wall and smiling at the camera. And it's just a warm little 12-year-old looking at Ed. This reminds me of this in a way. This really does. Because, again, she's playing these fear, fear. She's confronting fear, all these things. And there's just this, like, smile that's just so just sublime and just warm. I just absolutely love it. What, you know, I don't know what the actual context will end up being in the movie. This could be something else. You know, Claude could be calling her to dinner for all we know.
No Claude in the trailer.
Yeah, no Claude, no General Hux, no Pride, Allegiant Pride. And that's fine. And if you see anyone worried about that, don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
As far as trailer, I mean, for it to end on that, big win for me. Big win, that final shot.
Yeah, the final shot to just, you know, talking about the big themes, just reframing it as of what will she choose? What will the heroes choose?
What will you become?
I'm looking at it again I'm looking at Rey's face because I want to, you're saying smile and I want to believe smile.
Yeah, watch it again.
Yeah, I'm watching it again. Yeah. Doubt, mm-hmm. blink.
It's so subtle.
You're right, it's a blink.
Yeah.
And then something changes.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
And
it's very interesting to me that you feel it as a smile.
I feel it as peace.
Yeah.
Maybe that makes more sense.
Yeah.
When I say it out loud, just like this peace, serenity, purpose.
Yeah.
All in that moment.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. And I think Daisy's good at that. Watching the Luke Skywalker is a myth scene. As I did, having to break it down, I love everything. She plays things really well like that. I just think she's good in that regard. So, but again, could be Claude going, come to dinner. I got dinner.
You heard it here first. That's how Claude talks. How Mecha Claude will talk, nobody knows, because he might need some help getting around.
If he doesn't talk like that, what are you doing? Come on. Come on.
Yeah. So powerful. See, bringing it back, you know, much like the Force Awakens trailer did, mm-hmm. just bringing it back to... This is the battle of light and dark, and can our heroes make it through the darkness?
Yeah, this trailer, I thought, gave away so much and gave away nothing. And it really set the tone for the themes and talks. That's what's important. That's more important, folks, than who's flying the ghost, if that's the ghost. Is that the racist? All those things are fun, but often they're just potatoes in the clouds. And... what is important, what to take from this, is just the unbridled joy you're experiencing right now watching this, and the themes and what our characters want and what they're battling.
Yeah.
That's what's there.
Yeah.
And space horses.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I think that's it. Yeah. The deep needs and desires of the heroes and space horses. That, to me, is what it's all about. The big mythic storytelling and the batshit space fantasy weirdness. And I love that we're getting both.
Yeah, I love it. Sorry, we normally don't swear. Not that that's the worst swear word in the world, but that's how I describe it. It's how we feel and how it kind of aligns up with JJ going, yeah, so I watched Last Jedi. Turns out you can kind of go crazy in a great way, and I think we're going to give that a go.
I think we're going to do that, yeah.
I love that. I love that. That is our look, Joseph. We've been broadcasting all day.
Yes, we have.
The episodes that are coming out later in this week have been recorded today as well. We're putting this out as soon as we can, getting this out. We like to take our time. We don't do those little reaction videos. No disrespect to anyone. Jen's doing one. Hers are always the most pure. No, you know, we just, Joseph and I, want to stare blankly at a screen, watch it six times, then start talking about it and taking notes, and then share it all with you. We're so happy, though, that Jen was able to call in and share her overall thoughts to it. She was, at last, we talked, was going to be putting a video out on her YouTube channel. So please support over there as well. We also want to remind you today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. We always do a 4center recommends. We got one for the other shows. But Joseph, what you Bloodlines. I think people should check on Bloodlines, the Claudia Gray book, because you get a sense of the galaxy 6 years prior to all this. And maybe we'll see where it all connects.
Yeah, Claudia Gray, Bloodline. So get into the heart of Leia Organa.
Absolutely. Let's take a breath. you can follow Joseph at several spots, including the internet.
Yes, mostly the internet. I mean, you can follow me in real life. Yeah, anyway, it's late. Anyway, the point is you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joseph Scrimshaw. I'll be tweeting up more about Star Wars. And you can also find all of my other podcasts, comedy shows. Got one coming up this very weekend in Los Angeles. All that information is on my website at josephscrimshaw.com.
You can follow me at Ken Knapsack, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And go to kenknapsack.com for more information, including upcoming comedy shows and the like. That is it for now. We're going to watch this again. More questions will emerge, deeper answers to deepest of deepest questions. It's all still coming. And yeah, maybe that is the ghost. Maybe that is the Mortis dagger. We'll find out. But right now, we're going to soak in these beautiful, wonderful themes of Star Wars. Good night, everybody, and good morning. We'll see you next time. This was a 4center breakdown of the Rise of Skywalker trailer.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.